Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We have a lot on our plates tonight at the Reporters Roundtable. Former Vice President Joe Biden taken to task over inappropriate touching of women. Virginia's Lieutenant Governor publicly pushing back over sex assault allegations. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh's ethics problems over a book deal. A 10-year-old robbery suspect handcuffed in D.C. And the president's threat to shut down the southern border. Boy, we've got a lot to deal with tonight. My guests are Washington Post reporter Keith Alexander, Washington Times reporter Deborah Simmons, and D.C. editor of the Afro-American newspapers, Misha Green. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Good to be here.
What up? Yes, how about that? Listen to what Joe Biden tweeted out just today.
I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility. My responsibility, and I'll meet it.
So, Joe Biden saying he is going to change his behavior. Deborah, is this the appropriate tone for the vice president?
I want Uncle Joe and Uncle Creepy Joe to just be quiet and show me how you've changed your behavior. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. But what I also want to know is, what does Obama want to say or not want to say? He's been awfully quiet amid all this. And I'm sure it's a political thing, and that his allegiance to Kamala Harris and that sort of thing. The politics of it, I understand. But the cultural aspect of what has happened, I find it interesting that Barack Obama has been quiet.
So I'm glad we're on this panel with such distinguished ladies, because I need some little help here, because I'm trying to understand. So basically, Biden is hugging folk, hugging men, kissing women on the back of the head, on the back of their head.
And rubbing noses.
Eskimo kisses.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But he's been doing that for decades.
Forever.
Now, that doesn't make it right.
Right.
But I haven't heard or seen anyone say, I objected to it, I told him to stop, and yet he persisted. I didn't see anyone saying, either he offered a hug, or he wouldn't do this for me or do that. Nothing. All I heard, saw was that he's just affectionate.
There was no reaction.
Well, I think
from what he did,
we're in a place right now because absolutely, I agree, and I think Uncle Creepy Joe has always been Uncle Creepy Joe. He was Uncle Creepy Joe 40 years ago. That's mm-hmm. who he is, and you know, I'm just going to go there for a second. We all know the jokes, and we've seen the memes about white people not respecting personal space in general. Mm-hmm. And so Uncle Joe is affectionate, and everyone who knows him is coming to his defense. And I think for a number of reasons, Obama doesn't have to say anything. Right. In fact, I think that if Michelle Obama were to say something, just because we've seen the memes of of Joe being affectionate with Michelle, that would make more sense.
But even with Obama himself.
I mean, absolutely. He's very affectionate. I mean, you know, I almost saw it as sweet. It is a little creepy, but every time I've seen it and seen it as a joke, I never was offended by it, nor offended for any of the women that I saw. And I'm, you know, I've said it on the show many of times. I want women to stand up for when they feel uncomfortable. But I think really what it boils down to is that we're in a place and in a time where people feel like now they are hyper aware of things that happen, particularly with sort of the viral nature of the Me Too movement.
Are they hyper aware or hypersensitive?
Right.
Here's the thing that I really struggle with. Okay, and now granted, we got Lucy Flores and Amy Lapos. Okay, these are not black women, although Lucy Flores is Hispanic.
Latina.
I would imagine that if it were a black woman, and he came up and he put his hands on her shoulders, and And it was out of the public eye. And he kissed her on the back of the head or whispered in her ear. I can imagine that a black woman would gently put her hand on his while it's on the shoulder, and she would look over her shoulder and she would say, Joe, don't do that. Okay. Or wouldn't even say anything. She would just look over and give him the really quick, and it's over. And so I think that as it relates to Flores and Lapos, I think this is political. I do not, to bring this public. Okay.
Oh, okay. This is
political or seeking attention.
This is political because of Flores' support of Bernie Sanders. This isn't.
And that Joe was supposed to make his announcement this month. The timing of it.
Right. This isn't Me Too. Right. This is about all of y'all running for president.
And that's what happens. It doesn't. Yeah. It really does a disservice again to women who actually are victims.
Absolutely. But right. And so what I'm saying, I'm not calling this situation Me Too, but I'm saying that the viral nature of the movement itself has given permission for people who not necessarily, have been victims to say that they are. And shout out to Tarana Burke. She was just at Howard yesterday. Mm. So I don't have an issue at all with it. I think that she's doing a lot of great things for the community. However, this is what happens when you give people the platform to say that they've been assaulted sometimes.
It's just that the victimization angle of everything that's coming about on anything that has to do with women and men anymore, whether they're in college, as Justin Fairfax in Virginia was, whether you're on the stage for a political rally during a presidential election year, it just seems it doesn't matter. It's just that everybody seems to want to vomit at the same time about why and who they were a victim about. So what? He smelled your hair. That's on him, not on you. Well, that doesn't make you a victim because some guy smelled your hair.
Yeah. But hold on.
And then she tells us, and it was dirty because I hadn't washed it. I was like, okay, that's enough.
Well, but you know what? As Nancy Pelosi said, this isn't about intent. It is about how the person was made to feel. Right. With that, but again, with that said, and maybe this is a cultural thing, yes, he is the vice or was the vice president of the United States. But again, I just don't think you're overstepping when you look over your shoulder and it was like, I love you, Joe, but what you doing?
Well, I think because
you can't say
vice.
I love you.
Well, right.
Oh, yeah. God forbid that you should say that.
But I think because he was vice president, it did put them in a situation where it could have been awkward. I mean, I'm a black woman, and I think if Joe had done something to me and kissed me on the back of my head, I would have thought it was weird, but I wouldn't have necessarily said anything about it.
But would you have said something 5 years later?
Well, I think I don't think I would have said anything at all. I think he was being creepy Joe and wasn't necessarily hitting on me, but just, showing affection. Again, like what I said earlier, I think that's just who he is, and trust me, I've been around a lot of creeps where I've had to put in their place. Joe's not one of those people.
Well, let's talk about something that a lot of people would also consider creepy.
I have heard Dr. Tyson say that I held her neck and physically forced her to engage in sexual contact. That is simply not true. We engaged in friendly banter after leaving the room. I did not rape or sexually assault Meredith Watson. I did not lock the door. I did not turn out the lights. I did not hold her down or use any physical force whatsoever. We were both willing participants.
Virginia's Governor Justin Fairfax pushing back today against his former classmate Meredith Watson and also Dr. Vanessa Tyson. Keith, we'll start with you. I don't know who to believe.
You know, let's say he took a lie detector test, right?
And, yeah.
And he passed the lie detector test that is not admissible in court for obvious reasons.
Right.
You know, the Washington Post got wind of this story a while ago. And the Washington Post, we looked into this and we couldn't prove it. We couldn't prove the allegations, and
that was the Vanessa Tyson part,
correct?
Yes.
And we consciously said we can't prove this. We are not going to put a story out there on someone if we can't prove, if these allegations cannot be substantiated. So he is now coming forth and finally is saying what he should have said weeks or months ago. I'm like, why did you wait until now to come forward and really put all this out there? You know, it comes down to
she said. Yeah. And the one piece that during the press conference that particularly struck me, and I think this was about memory, not only Dr. Tyson's memory, but his. I would argue that he probably did not come out with the dates and all of this other stuff because he had to go back and probably call John Edwards and say, John, when did we get to that convention? Because Tyson says that they arrived on one day and started talking. He says, we weren't there that day. Mm-hmm. We were there the next day. And then it's messy.
It's because it's he said, she said.
That's, he said, they said.
Yeah, he said, she said, and she said.
And they said, look. There's a movement outside, beyond, because of, as a result of the Me Too movement, where everybody's supposed to come forward and tell their truth. Now, your truth, Keith, might not be my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And my truth might not be your truth. So just telling, encouraging, urging people, we're urging people to tell the truth. Well, that was the name of a game show.
Yes.
For a very long time. Mm-hmm. And for a very good reason.
So my question. So if it's your truth and my truth, then what do you have?
You have he said, she said.
I mean, that's what
it is. He literally might be remembering one thing that happened or a couple of things that happened that don't fit into her narrative. The thing is that she put her narrative out there first. Well, the two she's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They put their narratives out there first. So now you have to try to figure out how to get away from that and answer whatever truth she put in the narrative. It's the same thing that's going on with Justin Fairfax. I'm not Justin Fairfax.
Jussie Smollett.
Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, that's another conversation.
But he created the narrative. And the AG, all these weeks later, decided, okay, I can't figure out to get my peg into the holes that he created, so I'm just going to drop the whole mic. I'm through. I'm done.
Well, I'm going to go away from Jussie because I have a lot
Thank
to
you.
Say for, about him. But what I will go back to in terms of Justin Fairfax, and Keith, I'm so happy you're here because when the scandal first happened, I was on the show. And the point that I brought up is that The Washington Post had this story a while ago, and the fact is that if the Washington Post could not verify it enough to put the story out there, then we really don't have a case right now. Obviously, also, we are over the statute of limitations at this juncture. And so then the question becomes, well, should this man be running in the state of Virginia? Should he have an official post, elected a post in the state of Virginia? Maybe not. But at the end of the day, he did defend himself initially when Dr. Tyson came out. I don't think that he's now copping any different pleas than he was with Watson.
But today he gave a lot of details. I'm going to let you finish, and we're going to talk to Pam calling from Virginia after this break. Pam, don't hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lines are open. Want to hear from you. So much to talk about at the Reporters Roundtable. Again, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds on Sirius XM Channel 141.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with Keith Alexander of the Washington Post, Deborah Simmons with the Washington Times, and Misha Green with the Afro-American Newspapers. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pam, calling from Virginia, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon.
Hey, go right ahead.
I'm calling because... I'm so sorry.
Yeah, turn that down, but go right ahead, please.
So sorry, I hit the wrong button. I'm sitting in my car. Okay, Justin Fairfax, I agree with all of you, and I thank you all for having this conversation. Justin Fairfax, he took the lie detector test. We're done with that. He passed it. We're done. They need to go on about their business. But what I really called to talk about was my boy, Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to wait 5 years before you say something about it, you got a problem. I'm sorry. You got a problem. We got to stop this. Everybody coming up all of a sudden, 5-10 years later, oh, he touched me. He smelled me. He touched whatever. I'm tired of that. If you don't get it together 5 minutes after they've done it, then you need to keep your damn mouth shut. I'm sorry, Harold. I don't mean to curse on your show.
No, that you're on the serious side. You're good.
I love it, Pam.
Yeah.
Right.
Spirited.
I'm tired of it. And I do believe you all when you said that I think it's political. I think Bernie Sanders sent that girl out there because he wants to be president. She needs to stop. Joe Biden, if you're listening, sweetie, you can hug me, kiss me on the cheek, and hold me anytime you want to. I am tired of this. And you won for president because we need to get this man out of this White House. I am tired of these women coming up 5-10 years later. If you cannot tell somebody 5 minutes after they did it, then keep your damn mouth shut.
Bam, can I ask you a question? You are full of energy and passion about this subject. Why? Why are you so upset about this?
Because they're trying to ruin a man from getting, and I do believe Joe Biden will beat that fool in the White House if he gets up in there. I do believe that. And there, and you know, I'm a federal employee, okay?
Mm.
And God Almighty in heaven, y'all know we've been on furlough. Y'all don't even know the half of the crap we go through. And he's got to go.
Yeah. Well, Pam, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Misha, you got a tough act to follow.
I think I should really get into it like Pam, because that was amazing. You know, Pam, what church do you go to?
But she's on now, right. How about that?
But anyways, you know, I think that both the Biden and the Fairfax conversation always goes back to something that I talk about all the time, which is that we have to normalize consent. You know, I just said that if Biden had said something to me and kissed my head, I might have felt really weird about it because he was the vice president of the United States. And that's because I have been taught and seasoned to make other people feel comfortable around me. And that's how most of us have been trained and raised. And so I think what we really need to do is normalize saying, hey, you can't touch me, or you need to back up a couple steps.
So is he at fault? Is he at fault because he couldn't read your mind and that made
you uncomfortable?
Absolutely
not. Absolutely not. And in the same way, we absolutely have no idea what happened in those bedrooms and in those hallways with the Fairfax situation. But at the end of the day, you know, the he say, she say turns into a lot of muffle when you don't hear that someone said,
and when
no.
you don't deal with it immediately.
And when you don't deal with it, and that's
like
what I mean.
Like Pam said 5 minutes afterwards.
If you say it immediately, exactly. If you make consent
and if
normal.
If the photographer has to take fresh pictures and everybody has to repose or do the Taylor Swift thing, she didn't even deal with it immediately.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you say, and I'm not disagreeing that it doesn't need to be normalized, the standards, that is. But what I don't want is for Congress and the federal government and local and state governments to start trying to normalize cultural standards like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, did she say it before you went in the hotel door, or did she say no after you went in the room?
Yeah,
before you got the drink or after you got the drink? Who fixed the drinks?
Well, they won't be able to regulate
it.
unless everyone is walking around with body cameras, which will not happen.
No.
If that can't happen.
Keith and I are thinking the same thing. Dear, do you mind, before this encounter, do you mind if I videotape you? Please sign this release.
And then it's considered porn.
Well, then there's that. let us move on to Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh has taken a leave of absence the first time that I can think of in modern history for the city of Baltimore that something like this has happened. She is on doctor's orders to take care of a bad case of pneumonia, but this also comes when she is facing a laundry list of ethics accusations of ethics violations, having been paid by the University of Maryland Medical System some $500,000 for a children's book that she has written, and now all of these prominent companies, whether they are headquartered in the Baltimore or the greater Baltimore area or are significant players to the community, have paid Catherine, her LLC, from anywhere from $7,500 to $114,000 for either her books, or it is now being suggested that it's a pay for play situation.
Right.
So, you know, Misha, let's start with you. Do you believe that she should or that she will step down? This is a really difficult situation for the city as well.
Well, before I answer that question, I just want to say, Catherine, please feel better. Pneumonia is really scary right now. Mm-hmm. And I've known and heard of a lot of cases of young women in particular dying mm-hmm. of pneumonia this
and,
year.
And older ones. I mean, she's 69 years old.
That's the scary thing.
Right.
You know, I think of a Kim Porter who was very young and passed from pneumonia this past year.
And Whoopi said it almost took her off this.
Yes.
Whoopi Goldberg said it almost took her off this. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I first didn't want to believe her. I thought that she was, you know, sort of copping out and saying she was sick during this time, but the doctor's orders seem to, you know, really solidify that she's sick, so please feel better. But, you know, I think it would be very smart if she stepped down at this juncture. This is a big scandal and far too big for the mayor of such a big city like Baltimore that has its own issues, mm-hmm. and particularly issues with finances. And so, you know, this is obviously something that happened back when she was a state senator that is surfacing now. But it would make me feel uneasy that the person running my city in a city that already has financial problems to now have a financial and ethical scandal. And so I think it makes most sense, particularly since she has some health issues, to step down.
But the health issues notwithstanding, we do know that with proper care and the like, she's going to get over the pneumonia piece. I do believe that. She did have a press conference, and she was, you know, neck deep in the throes of pneumonia, looking weak and sounding hoarse. So, and she's at home. She's not in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's throw the pneumonia out and just talk about this particular issue. Is it time for her to go?
She's going to go, I think. Yeah. I think she's already had her sick days calculated. How much do I have?
Yeah.
Because you can't carry over your sick days.
Exactly.
And she's sick. Those who know her, including
me,
you, Harold, talk about how she's an avid jogger. She's just not somebody who gets out and runs every
around
other
the block.
Week. And that sort of thing. Here's the thing. She's a businesswoman. She's a smart woman. She's even a tough-ass woman. I didn't run across anybody who necessarily said they loved Catherine Pugh but she can be brusque. Just as a lot of black women in her generation had to be to get where they are now. That's the way they had to be. The thing is that I didn't even want to write about what was going on in Baltimore, because my most vivid, even though I scoot in, you know, go to a game, go to a concert and stuff like that, is that what The Wire and The Corner showed me about Baltimore, and to read about the blocks and blocks and blocks of homes that were torn down, the businesses that, properties that were vacant. That says a lot about Baltimore, almost as much as the way Stephanie Rawlings Blake handle the entire Freddie Gray thing.
Situation.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a lot of people. That national image there, those problems, are what people outside of Baltimore see about Baltimore.
And the problems that Sheila Dixon also has.
And the problem
well,
that she... So.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. I think the problems go beyond fictional TV shows. I mean, you know, like The Wire and The Corner. I mean,
if you read those books and you saw... That's the visual you
right.
have. And
but
that's the
if you
visual
look at the,
we still
if you look at the
have.
Homicide rates
it still
now,
has.
Right. If you look at the homicide rates now,
yeah,
not from in the 90s, I'm talking about today.
Yeah.
That needs to be addressed.
There's a problem.
There's a problem. So we're saying, so she can't focus on that, focus on her health, deal with this latest issue in terms of healthy hobby and healthy Holly, whatever. She needs to focus on stepping down so that the city can heal.
But she did have a chance to deal with that. She tried 4 police commission nominees.
She did.
Yes.
But what I'm saying
and
is
they
that
all
you,
went bust.
And what I'm saying is that now how are you going to deal with that while you're dealing with your health? While you're doing
with a scandal.
With a scandal.
And all that
circling around you at the same time.
And let's be clear, you know, Catherine, you know, Mayor Pugh is sitting at the top of this scandal. But let's be 100% clear. The University of Maryland Medical Center has the chair has stepped down.
Right.
You've had 2 other white men
step down.
You've also had the sons of a former state senator. Now, they have pulled back from several boards affiliated with the University of Maryland Medical Center. You have had Kaiser Permanente.
Taking away money. Coming
out and saying, that they paid her $114,000 to her LLC related to books. And this was happening at the same time that while she was on the board, the Board of Estimates for the City of Baltimore and voted on a $48 million contract for Kaiser Permanente to represent health insurance for all of the city.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot
But if they're stepping down, that just tells you she can't remain. She has no
choice. And then you got the governor coming after. Yeah. You got Peter Franchot, the state comptroller.
Yeah. You know, I mean, particularly, right, with those in Annapolis now giving her a hard time, there's no way that she can't. But I also think at this point, we know what kind of trouble it gets you in when you mix business with government. I mean, there's a whole issue on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now with the same exact issue. And so at the end of the day, for everyone's sanity, I think in a place that truly needs healing, like you said, Keith, she has to step down, you know, and I hate to see it because it's a black woman who, like you said, is very, very smart and very powerful and has done some great things really for the city. I mean, or at least attempted to.
How long has she been in office?
This is her first term.
This is her first year.
What is this, 18?
The election was 16.
Yeah. Right?
16.
It's not been through. Right, exactly. But, you know, I think that it's her time to step down. And though you said earlier...
Yeah, when the state comptroller comes and says, we got problems, and then the governor says, and we got the... that's going to back up our investigation, you have to step away. Even if you did not do anything wrong.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, I know she's not a native Baltimorean. No, I understand and appreciate that.
But she's been there a really, really long time.
Exactly, exactly. And she's a smart enough businesswoman and independent woman to know I can't carry all these loads at one time, and I don't have the help to support me.
No. That's what I'm saying.
And I know you said forget about her health, Harold, but really at the end of the day, going back to the fact that...
That's why she should step down. She should really step down because...
Yeah. This is pneumonia, but pneumonia can lead to a whole bunch of other issues. I agree with that,
but I think we're talking about two separate issues here. And so if she did not have this scandal and still had pneumonia, okay, take care of that, take a leave, or manage the city, which is
why my headline on my column said Baltimore Mayor versus Catherine Pugh. You have to separate those
Absolutely.
Two.
Right,
and
that,
right
yeah.
now
okay.
she has to focus yeah. on Catherine.
And she
right.
has
yeah,
to
the,
focus
yeah.
on Catherine
these,
Pugh.
These, are, these, are, these are two different
Absolutely.
Things. You know, this is this ethics issue and these payment things, they've been going on a whole lot longer for her than pneumonia.
Right, exactly. But she hasn't been in trouble. As she's been in trouble. Right.
Well, you know, the Lord also has a way of saying, you, okay, you ain't paying attention enough.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Sit down. I was going to say that. Yes.
Yeah, he will make you lie down.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I do want to move on to to our next topic. And this is one of the things that a lot of people have found really, really distressing. There was a 10-year-old boy who was arrested on Saturday, a viral video here in D.C. He was accused of using a BB gun and robbing another juvenile of his phone, along with at least two other, possibly three boys. Mm-hmm. And the issue that has come up is that he was handcuffed by the Metropolitan Police and put in the back of an SUV and taken downtown.
No, he was like, around the corner.
Yeah. Around the corner. Well, they were already downtown.
Right. And released his mom.
Yes, right. And then, of course,
eventually
his mother says that the boy has been traumatized, and as Shaggy says, it wasn't me. So, but the big question is, should you handcuff a 10-year-old criminal suspect?
As someone who covers the courts every day and see these kids coming in here, everyone's so worried about this 10-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. What about this 12-year-old boy who had a gun put to his head?
Mm-hmm.
A 12-year-old boy had a gun put to his head, didn't know it wasn't a real gun.
By the
10-year-old and his boys.
Right, okay. Now, but his mother says it wasn't him. So he's still a suspect.
He's still part of that. He had provided the gun. It was his gun. He had the gun. So everyone's so concerned about this 10-year-old boy, this 10-year-old boy. And yes, he's 10 years old. But don't forget about the victim.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's to me, as someone who sees victims all the time, that's what I'm focusing on this 12-year-old child and how he's going to be traumatized for only having a gun to his head for a phone. You know.
And I don't want to lessen that. I don't want to discolor it in any way. But as a 10-year-old and you're being arrested, you could be traumatizing yourself at the thought of, what am I going to tell my mama when she find out?
Maybe.
I said it was him and a brother.
Well, yeah, because
it was him and his brother. Remember, there were two of them.
And the reason I say maybe is because three of the four people here at this table have gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, your mother, my daddy, Keith's mom or father, yes, we always were more concerned about what happened when we got home than what happened if we were ever picked up by the police.
Because we knew we had crossed the line.
It wasn't just my parents, it was the neighbors.
Yeah. That's true. Now, for Misha's generation.
I'm still very much so afraid of my parents.
But still afraid.
Yes, yeah. No.
I mean, no one wants to see a 10-year-old child go through that.
Yeah.
But again, it's a 12-year-old child who had a gun put to his head.
Yeah, you know, I take this really seriously on both sides. My goddaughter, actually, a couple weeks ago, went home crying because she's at 10 because someone had threatened her life at school. And so I think a 10-year-old can cause some damage, you know, and they know what they're doing at that point. And we can go on for days about how that 10-year-old also has a lot of trauma and issues and is in pain because they're threatening another life. But whether or not whether this little boy did it or not, at the end of the day, our black boys are always targets, and that is why I think so many people are very emotional in seeing that video.
But here's the other thing. You may not remember this, Misha, but I'm sure everybody else at the table remembers this, Scared Straight. And there was a time when I was a kid when if any of my peers did something, our parents, when the police were called, you know, there was always a whispering between the parents and the police saying, yeah, go ahead and take him downtown or take him to or take and just give him. Yeah. Put him in handcuffs. Give him a ride. Mm. And the mother says traumatized. Her son was traumatized. We just said educate so that if you are traumatized this time, you won't do that again.
Well, imagine how lucky that boy was that police didn't walk up on him with a gun. Pellet gun
exactly.
And thinking it was a real gun and took that 10-year-old boy out.
Yeah.
And it could have been another Tamir Rice.
And I thought about Tamir Rice in that situation only because at the end of the day, our boys do look older than they are, too. And I think that that's the other...
That kid didn't look... That kid looked like a kid.
He looked like a kid, but after... getting a call that there was there were young criminals out stealing from another juvenile, that they all then look like criminals. And so at the end of the day, you know, I think once the police found out that he was 10 and they released him, kudos to them. I think that's what they needed to do.
Even the chief of police, Newsom, said it was a regrettable situation.
Yeah.
That the officers did not like doing, but they had to. That's the protocol. That is what you do. When someone has a gun and involved in a robbery, you handcuff them.
And he wasn't brutalized.
For the safety of everybody involved.
Because and I say thank goodness to what you just said, Harold, is because there could be a lawsuit. Because the word traumatized.
Oh, that was purposeful. She's already talked to the lawyers. She's talked to the lawyers already.
Yeah. here's the thing, though. I want to know why people haven't galvanized themselves to the point. I don't care whether they're from a house of worship. I don't care if they're from the nearby Boys and Girls Club, whether it's just the people who live in your neighborhood, somebody outside of government for sure.
For sure.
Gathering up these kids and telling them what A. Scott Bolden said sitting in this very chair last year in one of the cases, don't try to deal with it at the scene. He ran away. Now, I don't know if he was running to go home. I don't know if he was running just to be running. His mama said he was running because he was scared.
Mm-hmm.
Scared of being caught.
Right.
Scared of being hurt. Scared of becoming a Freddie Gray. We don't know, but the lawyers and his mom and them will deal with that from here on out. The thing is,
you wouldn't have been scared if you didn't have that gun.
At Fifth and H Street Northeast has become one of the major entrepreneurial corridors in this city.
Yes,
Fifth
nice
and H Street don't
it.
Look nothing like the Fifth and H Street I grew
no.
up in.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing like. So. With all that gentrification that's going on and all the economic development that is coming, which is what Baltimore needs right now, I think it's time that Charles Allen, D.C. Councilmember Charles Allen, who represents Ward 6, Capitol Hill, Ward 8, Union Station, Ward 6, Union Station, needs to sit down and talk to his constituents instead of making sure he's standing up next to Mayor Bowser every time a child is shot or there's a major carjacking or something like that.
But hold on. But haven't black folks for the past couple of
years... And he's a white guy, Charles Allen.
I'm not talking about Allen. I'm talking about black folks in the community.
Mm-hmm.
When we have situations like this, we've always been asking, how come our kids can't act right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question that, and that
because they're not being taught.
I understand that, and that's my point.
Right.
And so when I think that whether it's a Charles Allen or you know, and you can't, and it may be very difficult to have a white politician talk to that black community and say you got to make sure your kids act right, so we don't want to give them shot, but. Like
no,
you said,
I want him to talk to the whole community, not just the white community. He's not to say anything other than this is who I am and this is why I'm here. Here's the mic. And that's why I said no government. Government doesn't do that. All the agency heads, you've been doing the agency heads line up, the mayor comes in, this advocacy group and that. The advocacy groups can't raise our children.
No, that's true.
The government can't raise our children. Mm-hmm. Why the hell are we scared to sit down and talk to one another about how we want our children raised.
That's
we just hand them over to somebody and do like this and go back and cut on Orange is the New Black.
You know, a lot of my readers, when I write stories about children who are charged with crimes, a lot of readers in the comment section always wants to know about the family of the kid. How old is the mother?
Oh, God, don't be a single mother.
How many siblings does the kid have? How old was the mother when she first had her first kid?
Right.
It all comes down to that. And you know, and I hate seeing those comments, but it does go.
Because that's the stereotype.
But that's just a stereotype. Also, there is some.
There is a correlation.
Correlation.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes. Of course, there are so many exceptions to the rule, but at the end of the day, statistics don't lie. And that's what we got to go. We can only go by facts. And we got to heal the community.
You can't heal the whole community at one time, but you can heal it the same damn way they tear down, block by block.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying.
I've got to jump in because I wanted to make sure that we did.
Right. Pam got us all riled up today.
That we do talk about the other thing that the government is doing. President Trump wants to shut down the southern border. I don't eat avocado, so it's not a.
Right.
I don't like guacamole. I don't like.
It's so good for you.
I had a coworker say, "Well, what am I going to put on my toast?" And I said, "You put avocado on."
Yeah. Oh, that's a thing. Avocado toast.
He has been stepping back just over the past couple of days. Really 36 hours trying to separate the business, the commerce from shutting down the border and preventing the people from coming in. Can you split hairs like that?
Well, Donald Trump can. I mean, he's obviously...
He's got hairs to split.
He has those three left. He definitely has to split. But, I mean, he's been kind of good at least acting like commerce is different than government issues. We know that that's not the case. But he's been okay at getting away with it at this juncture. I think at the end of the day, what's so crazy is that he's not really stepping back. He's just letting other people do his dirty work. Secretary Nielsen is right now in El Paso. He's heading to California on Friday. He's just not going out and doing the stuff. There is a huge problem, not at the border, but that they're treating this like a Category 5 hurricane. They're treating this as if it's a natural disaster. And for an issue that is not a natural disaster. That is not even truly a crisis.
But if he shuts down the border, we will see that. We will see a crisis at Whole Foods and Safeway and at Giant.
And in the streets.
And I'm going to ask you, why are we buying avocados,
bananas,
blackberries, bananas, south of the border instead of growing our own? Is it because everybody went to college and nobody ever learned that? Why? Have you looked at your produce labels?
Yeah.
We don't make nothing no more.
Well, yeah.
Everything is from south of the border.
Yeah.
Unless you pick your own strawberries.
And it's no doubt that NAFTA has had a lot to do with this. There are also these civil wars. You can't even call them civil wars when you have hundreds of thousands of your own people killing one another because your government said, get them off the land. We're going to build, and like they did in Guatemala,
right.
We're going to build a hydroelectric plant. Take the damn land, forget the people. And that problem is still going on. So that's two generations. And then they crowd back into El Salvador, and the El Salvadorans, as you know, everybody who spends any time in the city, were migrating here starting in the late 60s and 70s and are the largest immigration population we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot that's going on down there. And a wall is not going to curb the problem. So don't get distracted with Trump. The wall is coming. Mexico's going to pay for it. The wall ain't coming. I'll build a fence. No, we don't need a fence. I don't even get distracted by that madness.
Keith, you've got last word, 15 seconds.
That the administration, somebody needs to figure out. What is interesting is that you have a surge of people coming up from Central America.
Right.
It's not Mexico. It's
right.
from Central America.
Yeah.
You've
right.
got children and mothers coming
right.
up. And that's why the Border Control doesn't know what to do.
Right.
There used to be men coming up here, but now you've got mothers and children. Mm-hmm. So something needs to be done. And they got to find someplace to house
on which
these
side
people,
of the wall?
Other than right. putting them in parking lots.
And,
yeah.
And of course, there is the question of whether or not the president is calling for the reduction or elimination of aid to these already stressed countries.
Right. He's trying to stem it because it's not going to the people who need it.
Well, that's true.
Right.
And I got to go. Keith Alexander, Deborah Simmons, and Misha Green, thank you all so much. I appreciate it. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, April 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.